From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning to you.
Yeah, very good morning, Mike.
How'd they finish last week, these markets? I mean, we're tanking all over the world, aren't we?
It's not looking great. So I thought we'd had a quick look at how the markets closed out last week. And I was searching for adjectives, Mike, as to how to characterise how markets greeted the weekend. And I came up with weakness and concern. That's the best I could do. Now, Mike, the conflict started on the 28th of February. Very conveniently, from a market point of view, that means the March month-to-date returns are also the sort of barometer of the market response. So if I look at the S&P 500, it fell 1.5% on Friday. All markets were quite weak on Friday. But that's now fallen 5.4% since the start of the conflict. And do you remember President Trump sort of touting that the Dow Jones was above 50,000 and that meant that everything was okay? Well, it's now at 45,500. So it's down 6.94%. It'd be interesting to see, do you remember after Liberation Day when the market started to get really ropey after he announced the tariffs and it finally got too much for him? It would be interesting to see at what point market dislocation becomes uncomfortable there. World markets are down over 7%. We've seen other jurisdictions outside of the big US markets get hit harder, and that's because important components of the global index, like Europe, they're more sensitive, more greatly affected by rising oil prices and a potential interruption in supply. So there's an index, Mike, called the Stoxx 600. It's an index of the top 600 European companies. That's down almost 10% since the start of March, and was weaker. Europe very weak on Friday night as well. Now, locally, the NZX, we're down just over 5%. It doesn't look too bad, does it, on a relative basis? Across the Tasman, the Aussies are feeling a little more pain month to date. The ASX 200 down 8.4%. What I would say, Mike, that the sort of general wisdom, the general view, markets, I think, came to the end of the week getting collectively more close to a view of this being a more extended issue, a longer shock to energy markets, and a longer shock, Mike, is more likely to create persistent inflation outcomes and potentially higher interest rates, which has potential implications. It's a more concerning macro environment, things like stocks. One of the contributing factors to this, Mike, is if the outcome, when it does actually stop, includes material damage to energy infrastructure assets in the Middle East, because that takes time to fix. And I think fears of that have grown. Over the weekend, not a lot has happened to de-escalate those fears. In fact, we got a great one-liner from Scott Bessent over the weekend, who said, sometimes you have to escalate to de-escalate. So this week is important from the point of view that we do get a bit of a health check on economies around the world. These are the PMIs now for March. They include some of this period after it started. So very interested to see how those go. I would close by commenting, though, Mike, markets are, they're lower, yes, but it has been controlled. At the moment, it's orderly. So markets aren't chaotic.
No, but we do have the central banks and what they're going to do and how they're going to handle it.
Well, yeah, I just need to point this out because interest rate market moves around the world can be sort of highly correlated. They affect us as well. And it was a very busy week last week for central bankers. Central bankers all over the place, RBA, Bank of Canada, US, Bank of Japan, Sweden, Swiss. It was all going on. Generally, they held the line on interest rates, but inflation concerns are pretty universal. We can clearly see bond markets expressing that concern in the level of higher interest rates. You just quickly run through these. The UK, the 10-year government bond rate, Mike, in the UK, closed last week at 4.99%. I'll put that as a context. That is the highest close of that government bond term in the UK since 2008. It's like a 20-year high on that interest rate. German 10-year bond, highest since 2011. The US 10-year, it was under 4% at the end of last month. Now sort of 4.4. Locally, we've shifted up as well. So longer-term interest rates are heading higher. And what does that do? That raises the cost of government borrowing right around the world.
Yes. And Anna's having a word tomorrow on this, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately it's 9 o'clock tomorrow, so we won't be able to pick this up tomorrow morning. Speech tomorrow at the Business New Zealand CEO Forum. She will focus on the potential impacts of the Middle East conflict on the New Zealand economy. So that should be fascinating to hear her view.
Numbers, please.
Dow Jones closed at 45,577. It was down 444 points, 0.96%. The S&P 500 got smacked 1.5%, 6506. And the NASDAQ got hit even harder, down over 2%, closing at 21,647. The FTSE 100, it was horrible. It was a horrible day on Friday. The FTSE FTSE 100 lost 1.4%, 145 points, 9918. The Japanese resolved that problem. They had a day off. The Shanghai Composite, 1.25% fall, 50 points, 3957. The Aussies lost 0.82, closing at 8428 on the ASX 200. And we closed the week at 12,989, just under 0.5% fall. Kiwi dollar closed out last week at 0.5824 against the US. 0.8294 against the Aussie, so recovered a bit. 0.5036 euro, 0.4368 against the pound, 92.67 Japanese yen. Gold, Mike, gold has been smacked. It's down 15%. It's $4,492. That's because of higher interest rates. And Brent crude closed the week out, $112.19.
Could be quite the week. Look forward to your company. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.